This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Frankly, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
And welcome in, Diehard Nation. Thank you so much again for tuning in. Anthony Pepe, Julian Edlow from DraftKings, hanging out with you tonight at the Pepe Compound, 20 minutes south of Boston, Massachusetts. Everyone's buzzing, Julian, about the captain, the ESPN series, seven-show part of Derek Jeter.
It's a little much, I guess.
It's a little much, I guess. But you know what? If you're a Yankee fan, you love it. You fire it up. Show number one was last night. I DVR'd it, and I'm a terrible sports talk radio host because I probably should have watched it and talked about it right here. But I do file it in my Who Cares folder, but at the end of the day, I know I need to watch it. I just love Jonathan Papelbon, former Red Sox closer, tweeting out today. He said, "Hey, ESPN, if you want to film a real captain, it's the guy who kicked A-Rod's ass." And obviously, he's talking about Jason Veritek. And to me, that was very funny. But any interest in watching The Captain? I mean, I know you will watch it, but right now, is it like must-watch TV for you?
Well, so my question, I guess, to what do you consider yourself as a sports fan? Like, where are basketball and baseball for you? Are they closer to even? Like,
growing up, I love basketball, and right now, probably baseball. I'm a bigger fan of, and I love baseball. I respect Derek Jeter. He's just a Yankee, and I hate him because I'm a Boston guy.
So, like, if you follow me, you know I'm a primary basketball guy.
Sure.
Like, I have my background in Celtics coverage, and I'm an NBA bettor.
But don't you feel like everybody's going to be talking
football,
about this?
Yeah. Then football, and then baseball. So, like, for me, the reason I asked you that is, like, where does this rank for the casual sports fan who value baseball and basketball the same in terms of, like, the Last Dance for Jordan and this for Jordan?
I don't think it values it from a sports standpoint. I think
because the Last Dance for me was way above any priority of watching this.
Michael Jordan, the greatest athlete in the history of mankind and the best basketball player ever. Not even
that said.
Not even an argument.
I'll watch it. I think it's interesting.
It's the captain. It's Derek Jeter. It's him. So everybody's talking about it. So you feel like you're like obligated to watch it.
Well, and I said it's this time of year, so I'll watch the captain over 90% of the baseball games that are on.
Right.
Slow time.
Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
I'll watch it while I research football futures.
That's what
I'm doing.
I'll get off the air tonight. I'll drink 15 Vivas and then watch it.
It's a bunch of Vivas.
Tyler Watt. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line next.
You're listening to The Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
And welcome back to The Diehards. Yep, I'm Pepe, the original Diehard, hanging out with my pal, Julian Edlow from DraftKings. Speaking of pals, you know I own Food Truck Festivals of America. It's an event marketing company. We put on food truck and craft beer festivals all across the country. There are some areas where I don't have a signal. I can't get my hotspots. I can't get my iPads, my phones, my scanners working. I just switched to my pals at Verizon. They are the best. Let me tell you about Verizon. With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for four lines with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Our best priced unlimited plan ever. For real. $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love, switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required, unlimited 5G nationwide, 4G LTE in times of congestion. Your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. Let's get right back to it. The Progressive guest line, which is cooking tonight. Progressive Insurance, what do your home and auto have in common? They're yours, and Progressive protects them both. Bundle today at progressive.com. Pro gambler at BetSmart US, Tyler White is on the line. Hey, man, welcome to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. How are you, pal?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing all right, man. Rumor has it that you loved the national anthem last night at the Home Run Derby. Talk about it.
My ears are still bleeding.
That was brutal.
Everyone,
what the hell? What the hell was that?
An off day, right? And he had an off day yesterday, so hopefully he's moved past that and will improve. But yeah, that was tough to swallow. Not tough to swallow. Tough to listen to.
Hey, did you enjoy the Home Run Derby though? Other than that,
absolutely. I think it's taken over. You know, the dunk contest. You know, I'm about Julian's age. We're in the late 30s. You know, we're late 80s, early 90s kids. The dunk contest was like the pinnacle of all-star game festivities amongst the pro sports. And it just seems like the Home Run Derby has sped past that in the last 4, 5, 6 years. It's absolutely one thing that I look forward to every year. And I think it's something that, you know, maybe not diehard baseball fans, you know, they make a point to tune into it, whether they watch 2 or 3 games or 30 or 40 games a year. It's something that, you know, you can get a group of people together and sit down and watch it and enjoy it. And obviously, you know, we can bet on it, so that makes it a little more intriguing. But absolutely, it's a fantastic time.
Tyler, a little bit about your background, how long you've been doing this, gambling stuff, and I'm curious. I know you're a former poker player. I want to know why you got out. So talk about your gambling world and how you got into this, and why'd you get out of poker?
I got out of poker, got back into poker, got out
all
of
right.
poker. I still play. Poker was a big part of my life. I mentioned I'm 39, so early 2000s, before the moneymaker boom.
Sure.
You know, actually, I live in Knoxville and ran a couple of, you know, I guess the statute of limitations is over now, ran a couple of pretty large poker houses. So, you know, it was the poker aspect was something that I learned in my, I guess, early college years. Gambling is just has been something that's been a part of what my family has done throughout our life. And it started kind of with horse racing, you know, with my dad and grandparents. They're all from Lexington and Louisville.
All right.
So we have Keeneland and Churchill, and everything that my family did, we found a way to make it a competition. And normally when you compete, you know, money is the first thing that's, you know, pretty easy to throw in there. Sort of very, you know, at a young age, I was kind of indoctrinated in. So you put up a little bit of money. It didn't have to be a ton. You know, I remember playing games of 21 of basketball with my dad in the driveway for $10 at 13, 14, 15 years old. And, you know, that, Not a lot of money to most people. When you're 14 or 15, you know, a couple of $10 wins here and there, and you know you're set for a while. But yeah, it's just something that, you know, my family wasn't, you know, they weren't the family that kind of looked at it as a bad thing. It was something that they kind of embraced, and you know, I guess you could argue right or wrong or whatever. That's just kind of what, you know, big large families, you know, or that what my big large family liked to do. So it was just something that we got into at a pretty early age. Sports betting kind of, it fell into my lap. Some guys that I met after high school playing at the golf course happened to be local bookies in the area, and I wanted a job and got hired just to answer the phone and write tickets, you know, for a guy that was a decent-sized bookie in the area and, you know, didn't know anything about sports betting other than, you know, my dad would always run an office pool during college football bowl season. He would run brackets. And my dad was a bit of a sports bettor, but, you know, I didn't learn spreads or anything until I was probably 14 or 15. And this is early, mid-90s, so it wasn't thrown in your face like it is today. You kind of had to go out of your way to find it if you were, a teenager back then. And, just answering the phone kind of, that got the juices flowing from, you know, to get into sports betting. I was always into math as a kid. Numbers and computers have always been kind of my background. Did a lot of computer programming in high school, and I, you know, pretty quickly into just answer the phone and work in those kind of numbers. This was back when, you know, algorithms and predictive models weren't anything that anyone, you know, maybe a handful of people around the world had started doing that. There were some guys, you know, in the late 70s and early 80s that did that with horse betting, but as far as sports betting, it was just kind of a territory that no one had really dove into. So I started tracking data, and that was the only thing that I knew that I could, every day I could get a copy of the newspaper, every day you could call a number and get stats. That was something that was pretty easy to compile even in the early internet age, as the internet and speeds like that were able to become more affordable and easy to access. you could gather large amounts of data pretty quickly. So it kind of just, it was a perfect storm of kind of being introduced into gambling at an early age, kind of getting your feet wet working for a bookie and not really, you know, into it as a bettor. And then I realized that if you have data, you can do things with it. And you know, now it's, if you don't have data, you're miles and miles behind.
All right, Tyler. Well, transitioning things over, we're watching the MLB All-Star game right now. I think the third inning just ended, or we're in the middle of the third, something like that. Hard to follow live on the air. But I know that you sent me some things. This is kind of a good time of the season to reset, take some time. We don't have real games for a few days, and get some second-half bets in. And I know that you have some things over on DK Sportsbook that you sent me. Let's start with the best record.
Hang on, let me get a pen. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, get your pen.
All right.
Best record in baseball. I know that you have a take there. What are you looking at?
Yeah, Dodgers plus 180, and that's purely because of the strength of their schedule. It's the easiest schedule in baseball, particularly the second half of the season. The Yankees are absolutely on fire right now, not trying to take anything away from what they're doing. But yeah, at $1.80 right now, plus 180, I think there's a tremendous amount of value there. Right now, Yankees plus 110, just under even money there. I think the value at nearly 2-1 right now with the Dodgers, there's absolutely no reason right now that the Dodgers shouldn't win 106 games. The Yankees would have to slow down just a little bit. Right now, it looks, if they continue winning at their clip, which is pretty hard to do, you're talking about a team that's going to win 112.
Yeah,
112 games. I think that they're, you know, they're not going to win 70% of the games for the rest of the season. One, they have such a large lead in that East that I think that they're going to be able to rest some guys there. You know, 10, 15 games left. The Dodgers, big lead there. I just think the math works out right now. They're 8 games ahead of the Padres, so about half of the lead that the Yankees have. It should come down to the last probably 4 or 5 games to see who has the best record. But this is purely a value play. You know, almost 2-1, I think the Dodgers, just with the ease of their schedule, is a play that I can't stay away from.
All right, we got a couple minutes left, Tyler. I want to start with this one. You have a few awards that I know that you like. Ohtani MVP, we're laying juice now. I'm not a baseball guy, you know this, but a few weeks ago when Judge was heavily favored, I was like, I cannot for the life of me understand why Shohei Ohtani is not a heavy favorite to win MVP. This is, like, what he's doing is the equivalent of, like, Patrick Mahomes, except Patrick Mahomes is also a shutdown cornerback. It doesn't make sense to me why, if Ohtani's not healthy, he's not just constantly the MVP. So I agree with you here, but in, like, you know, 30, 60 seconds here, tell me why Ohtani is an obvious MVP and you're getting, like, a pick 'em right now.
Yeah, if you just the pitching stats alone, you would say, obviously, Alcantara will be ahead of him there. When you bring in what he's doing on both sides of the ball, absolutely can't. To me, the price is just way off. At minus 115 right now, Judge second at 150 plus, it's a two-horse race. To me, that number should be minus 215. You know, I think it's egregiously priced.
It should have been 215 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's at minus 115, I think he's a steal. You mentioned the injury would be the only thing that I think that could derail that if they were to shut him down from pitching. If he stays healthy, I think it's a home run as MVP play.
All right. I don't know my baseball, but if I'm passionate about one thing, the Ohtani MVP thing is it. But you got an MVP play in the NL, and I believe it's the favorite at even money. You want to quickly talk about him?
Yeah. Well, he's a play for even money, and then Machado would be the second best odds at 5.5-1 right now. Alonso, I guess 7-1 is fairly close. Paul Goldschmidt, you know, I was arguing with Matt Perrault about maybe Goldschmidt not over Ohtani, but, you know, closer to Ohtani than maybe Judge. And he kind of laughed it off. But Goldschmidt, you know, if Ohtani wasn't having the year that he was having, Goldschmidt would be, I think, in that conversation with Aaron Judge for MVP. No one in the NL right now is close to catching him. I don't know. He could regress, you know, 10 or 15% production-wise in the second half of this season. I still think that he runs away with it. At plus 100, I think that's a steal. I think that one should be easily in that 160 to 170 range.
All All right, let's rifle through another one because I think this one's really interesting.
Quickly.
Sandy Alcantara for Cy Young. He's minus 125 on DK Sportsbook. I like this play, but how much of a slight is it? Like, he didn't even get the nod to start tonight. I know it's in L.A. Kershaw starts. Are voters in the end going to get there on Alcantara? Because he's clearly been the best pitcher in baseball overall so far.
If he was on any other team, the guy would be
right.
a superstar, and you'd hear about him every single day. You'd hear on every network. You know, unfortunately, he isn't. At minus 125, I think that's a steal. Corbin Burns at 6-1, Musgrove and Tony Gonsolin at 12-1. This is an easy, easy layup of a play. At minus 125, it's another one I think he should be 50 or 60% higher than what he's priced at. That one's just, I think there's a tremendous amount of value where that DraftKings has him priced right now.
Tyler White, how do people find you?
At BetSmartUS on Twitter is the easiest way. We run data analytics for every major sport and college football, college basketball, and college baseball. You DM if you've got a question, if you want a little bit of analysis in every game. We have all that already ran, so reach out. We'll shoot you any answer to any question you have. If we don't have the answer, we'll find it.
Tyler, keep up the good work. Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, and don't forget us when that apparel line comes out.
Absolutely, guys.
There he is, Tyler Wyatt, again, at BetSmartUS. Pro gambler, friend of the show, joining us on the Die Hard's Progressive Guest Line. Quick TO when we return. Another good friend of the show from NFL.com, Eric Edholm, is next.
This is the Die Hard's on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
This has been a friend for a very, very long time, 2 decades, one of the first guests on the Diehards. And I can't wait to introduce him like this. From NFL.com, the great Eric Edholm. How are you, buddy?
Hey, sounds cool, man. I appreciate
that. Doesn't that?
It's great hearing your voice and great hearing those words, man.
It sounds really cool. And again, every time I have you on, I say this. From Pro Football Weekly, Eric Edholm. From YahooSports.com, Eric Edholm.
That's
but right now, you are NFL.com, man. You worked your tail off your whole life. It is an unbelievable accomplishment. NFL.com, you must be proud, my friend.
Oh, you're too kind, man. It's been fun covering the league. I've had my ups
yep.
and downs. I still get excited about it. I
Good.
Still like chasing stories. You know, we do it because we love it.
There you go. Hey, man, who's going to win more games this season? Let's get right into it. The New England Patriots
yeah.
or the Miami Dolphins?
Ooh, that, you know, I had that question asked to me. Of course, it was a Buffalo Bills show that asked me that. So they wanted to know who's finishing second place behind us. But, yeah, that's suddenly a really interesting debate. I mean, the New England thing, I mean, talk me through this, man. I don't want to make too big a deal out of it because – there haven't been too many major coaching missteps, like malpractice level bad by Bill Belichick. He's made his share of mistakes. You know, he's not above reproach. Anyone who's covered this business can rattle off a bunch, right? But he's also done a lot of great things. The whole offensive coordinator setup, though, I don't quite get it. It's not like the results on defense, even though the statistics were pretty good, have really borne fruit, you know? I mean, you don't really have a defensive coordinator. Maybe it's his kid. Maybe it's Mayo. You know, that nebulous thing is going to be a mystery for players on some level. And you know, I don't know. Somebody's got to be kind of held accountable, I think.
Hang on. Let me do this again. Eric Edholm from NFL.com is on with the Die Hard Sports Map Radio Network. Hey, say hello to Julian Edlow from DraftKings.
Yeah, what's up?
Hello, Eric. Nice to meet you on the air. And I was just going to say, you know, we're talking about this. I'm a big Patriots fan. We're here in Boston.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are plus 175 on DraftKings Sportsbook to finish second in the AFC East.
Right.
I love that bet because the Dolphins are going to be better than our Patriots, Pep, this season.
All right.
They got the O-line.
Yeah.
They got the receivers. It's a make-or-break year for Tua. They brought a bunch of the defense back.
That Hill guy's pretty good.
And these moving parts for the Patriots and the coaching situation, I think the Dolphins there are the way to go. But, Eric, something I want to talk to you about. Earlier in the show, it was towards the end of a segment. We had to cut off quick. Pep asked me for a best bet, and I said that I really like the Colts to win the AFC South. Just the Titans losing those receivers. It feels like the Titans, who won it last year and went 2-0 against the Colts, had a really good season, and they still have Derrick Henry. We saw what Ryan Tannehill was in that playoff game. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The Colts swapping what Carson Wentz is out for Matt Ryan is all I need to see. And all the other pieces are intact. You add a Stephon Gilmore there at corner. How do you feel? And my favorite part is you can just rule two teams out. Like, the Jags and the Texans are not winning the division. Maybe they surprise us
right.
with a few more wins, but they're not winning the division. How do you feel about the AFC South?
I'm with you. I mean, it feels like a two-horse race, right? And
yep.
Tennessee, for as great as their regular season was a year ago, you know, they kind of limped into that playoff game. Tannehill pick on the first series, you know, pick on the first series of the third quarter, pick to basically end the game, too. That's hanging over them all year. And it's not like Malik Willis is coming in and challenging them, but I'm worried about the short and long-term viability of this team. I don't know. Derrick Henry could be the kind of guy who's great and then falls off a cliff. I don't know when that happens, but if you told me it's this year, maybe. And then, like you said, the receivers. I'm with you on Indy. Very, very solid team. We saw what Phillip Rivers did with that team. It wasn't special. It was functional, and it got them to the playoffs. Did they win a game? No, they didn't. But that's the bet, right? So I'm with you. I think, you know, if they can get a number two receiver and a number two corner and figure those two things out, I think they'll be in pretty good shape.
I want to talk to you, Eric, about the AFC West, because they are just loaded. You know, the Chiefs are the Chiefs, and
some talent at QB1, right?
Yeah, I mean, they I don't know what happened against the Bengals. That Patrick Mahomes looked like I've never seen him in that game. But I'm going to count on them to bounce back and have a solid season. The Chargers, Herbert was ridiculous down the stretch last year. They loaded up. The Broncos obviously get Russell Wilson. That's a game changer. The Raiders add Davante Adams, among many other pieces.
And a coach.
Like, this division is just intimidating, and I don't know how to feel about it. How do you think it shakes out? Because you could, like, this is one of the divisions where you could just give me any order of outcomes, and very few would surprise me.
Right, I'm with you. I mean, I think in other divisions, the Raiders would be, you know, in the mix and in contention here. They might be the fourth best team, right? Even with, you know, an established QB1 and probably the top three receiver in Davante Adams, some other decent pieces. I mean, you know, like, let's just start with them, because, I mean, they're probably a pretty good team. And I think Josh McDaniels will do pretty well as a head coach in the second chance, but maybe not this year, you know. So I'm with you. Even with all the – you have to wipe out all your Chargers bias and history and, you know, all that.
They're always
going to be swimming up. Yeah, I mean, like, the talent is great. If Derwin James is healthy, I mean, we know Herbert's going to do what he's been doing. The receivers, you know, the run game, everything is there, I think. They had a really nice draft, really quietly good draft. The defense has got to make some more plays now, but still, I like them. And Denver, obviously, we've been talking about them for, you know, a year, year and a half, saying the roster's pretty good outside of quarterback. And you solve that with potentially brilliant trade for Russell Wilson. You know, he plays well and carries that team on his back. You know, maybe he would find some of that MVP magic again. It's been missing a little bit, but I think the changes of venue will help him out. So I'm having a hard time picking between Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos. They're all really, really good. Maybe the Chiefs slip a little without the big play threat.
Hanging out with the diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network, Progressive Guest Line, good friend of the show, longtime friend of the show from NFL.com, Eric Edholm. Hey, man, what are your expectations from the Super Bowl champ Rams? We've got about a minute left.
Yeah, I mean, really only lost Von Miller. I mean, obviously Odell's kind of hanging in the balance a little bit, but they're still loaded. Now, this is also a team that late in the season we were kind of doubting, and Stafford was getting beat up, but They still have the potential. They have a roadmap to get back into the contention and possibly back to a Super Bowl, but I think there might be somebody else this year.
Eric, in all seriousness, congrats on the great gig, the new gig, NFL.com. And do me a favor, throw me a little shout-out in one of your write-ups. Just drop a little pep in your step somewhere in your words. Pep in the step, and I'll know it's from me, okay?
We used to do this with radio shows. Like, you had a code word you had to work into it. I had motorcade once. I worked that in. I can do Pepe. I promise you.
All right, Eric, you're the best, pal. Keep up the good
work.
See you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Eric Edholm from NFL.com, one of the original guests with the Diehards. Quick TO when we return firmly on the Las Vegas trip. SportsX Radio's Kent Thompson will join us. Keep it here.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
From DraftKings, DraftKings.com, also host of the Unreasonable Odds podcast. Got a big podcast coming up, don't you, buddy?
We do have a big podcast coming up. Thursday, we are recording the college football preview with Phil Steele. And we'll run through the Power Five. We'll get those independents in like Notre Dame and BYU. And anything that we miss, this is my new question. Just anything that we miss when I run a podcast at the end that you are passionate about, please tell me about so that if my questions don't align and I miss something that misses out on a bet that I feel like we need to know about, please tell me.
Speaking of bets, let's head out to Las Vegas where there's few bets being placed daily. Good friend of the show is joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. Hello. Bundle today at Progressive.com. Good friend of the show from SportsX Radio, the great Ken Thompson's on the line. Ken, welcome to the Diehards. It's Anthony and Julian. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, what's going on, Julian? Long time no talk, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing all right, man. I'm curious, do you like the rules of the All-Star game tonight? If it's a tie at the end of the regulation, they go to a home run derby where there are three players that get three pitches. I personally love it. That's intriguing as all heck. I hope it goes to a tie at the end of the deal. What do you think?
I don't mind as long as it's 3-3. I mean, if it's 4-4, that means I lose the over. I lose the under. I have the under 8, yeah, which isn't good. And I don't usually play this game, you know, but I got some advice from someone that thought the line was a run too high and closed down to 7.5. So, you know, but 3-2 already, so got to kind of hold my breath, basically. But, you know, it is what it is. Just put a little pizza money on the All-Star game. You never get too involved in any of these, you know, these side affairs here.
Well, let's make it 3-for-3 on the home run derby to settle a tied All-Star game. This has needed to have been done for years, and obviously we watch the home run derby every year and see how awesome it is in surpassing the dunk contest. Ken, each year that I'm on here over the summer, I feel like we wind up talking about Raiders win totals. And
Going right to football. You forget baseball stuff. Right to football.
Yeah, I mean, I put it out there on Twitter. I'm like, this is my 6-week stage where I'm just I'm football prepping. That's what it's about.
I got you.
The Raiders have been a team. I've been down on them the last couple of years, and they always find a way to surpass that win total. And you were on them last year. I remember that, and they got there. This year, I like the Raiders. I think they're very good. I'm adding Adams, and they have so many pieces, and they got McDaniels. Like, I like them. But that division, man, like, I'm just curious your thoughts on the Raiders this year, not only how you think they do, how many games do you think they can get in the division, and how you think that AFC West shakes out, because that is heavyweights out there.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, and you look at a 17-game schedule, and you don't think, like, all right, the first game, really important, but it is really for the Raiders. It's out of the gate at the Chargers. And, you know, we know that Chargers have made some moves and they've improved their team. I think the Raider offense, you know, if Derek stays healthy, McDaniels, you know, gets them outside the pocket a little bit just to keep defenses like the Chargers, you know, honest, you know, when you bring in a Khalil Mack and, you know, a Jackson coming over from New England, and then you got Joey Bosa. So those are teams that have given Derek problems in the past. But if you watch what Kansas City does, or you watch, you know, a Russell Wilson, what do these guys do? They get outside the tackle box, you know, when things look like they potentially could break down. And even early in the game where they're going to do that naked bootleg fake handoff and roll with the tight end or bring somebody across on a slam pattern, get outside the tackle box. The NFL has made it to where the rules for the quarterback, it's advantageous big time. So all you have to do, get outside the tackle box. You can throw the ball away. Just get it to the line of scrimmage. And run and slide, and they can't hit you. I mean, so, you know, you've got to do that a little more for Derek Carr. It's not like Derek Carr's Tom Brady, where he's not mobile. He is. Derek Carr's a really solid athlete, but the only time he has really run in the past is when he's been flushed out of the pocket. And he'll take off a couple times, but I want to see him do some things, you know, from the get-go, and I think that'll keep defenses honest.
How do you feel, Ken, real quick, about just totals in general for the Raiders? Because I think they're a team that's going to see a lot of overs, whether you see it game total overs or team total overs. They're going to score points regardless of the teams that they're playing.
I might have a wager over.
Okay. Well, no, not win total over.
Oh,
I mean point totals, Pep.
Right.
Like, Ken, how do you see them going in terms of this game flow early in the season?
Yeah, I do. I really do see them, you know, outscoring a lot of teams. So the defense has made a lot of improvements, and they, you know, they were really fortunate last year that they found Denzel Perryman. I was actually with Denzel and a bunch of the guys last night. It was a great get-together at the Las Vegas ballpark, which is the Aviators AAA ballpark, which I think is the nicest in the country. And they played against the Golden Knights last night in a celebrity softball game for charity. They do it every year. But it was great, man. Denzel Perryman was out there. I mean, he's got 140 tackles last year. Jonathan Abram hanging out there. Foster Moreau. And Foster Moreau is an outstanding tight end. I mean, but Darren Waller, he was out there as well playing third base. And, you know, Waller gets, you know, most of the balls there for the tight end. But Foster Moreau would start on a lot of teams. And then, of course, you bring Devontae Adams over to help one of the best slot receivers in the game, Hunter Renfrow. Again, a guy that when you look at him, you know, without his pads on or his shirt, you're like, yeah, this guy doesn't play football. There's no way. But he's one of the most durable guys. He can take a hit, and he's faster than most defenses. And then you bring in DeMarcus Robinson. He comes over. You've got a solid backfield. You have Jacobs. Kenyon Drake, I talked to Kenyon last night. He said he's really feeling good. They signed Brandon Bolden to a couple-year contract. And you bring in Zeus and Mir White. So backfield's loaded. And the defense, I think, is going to be pretty good, especially with Chandler Jones teaming up with, you know, Max Crosby. You bring in Vernon Butler, and Bilal Nichols comes over from the Bears. So there's a lot to like about this team. Rocky Sin also, pretty solid cornerback, and we expect a lot from him. Got him in the Ngakoue trade to Indianapolis. So while people look at the Raider defense and go, it's not going to be that good, I mean, I think it's going to be pretty solid. And I think the Raiders have an outstanding chance to win that division. When I bet them earlier, about a month and a half ago, they were 8-1. They're down to 6-1 now to win the division, which I still think is too high. Kansas City is a +190, Chargers +225. I think the Broncos are +275. There's no way the Broncos should be favored over the Raiders. They haven't beaten the Raiders in a few years. The Raiders have swept them the last couple of years. So I just don't see it, even with Russell Wilson coming over. But as far as the opening week, the one game I did bet, and I think I told Pep this, I did bet Russell Wilson, but I could see how I played the three in half. And I just have a feeling they're going to win that game by double digits.
Ken Thompson, there's no one more connected to Raider Nation than you. You and JT the Brick, I should say. If you are Raider Nation, which team are you worried about the most? Is it the Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs, who people are questioning? They lose Tyreek Hill. Is it the addition of Russell Wilson in Denver? Is it Herbert in with the Chargers that everyone's saying he's an MVP guy? Which team are you worried about the most?
You know, I think you just have to worry about them all, and you play. You got to play.
Okay, fair enough.
It's just the way it is. So yep. Here's the thing. So you go to the Chargers. It would be great to get that opening win. You'll have 60% of the fans still there at SoFi Stadium. Will be in silver and black. But
yep,
that didn't work out for them last year. They got beat there last year. You know, then you come home, and on my birthday, September 18th, you play Arizona. Should take care of business there, but you never know if Kyler Murray is going to be able to, you know, pick up the pieces based on that dreadful game he had to close the season against the Rams. You go to Tennessee, and then you get Denver at home, and then you go to Kansas City. So those first five games, I mean, you got to come out of there 3-2, no worse than 2-3. Then you get Houston at New Orleans, at Jacksonville, and Indy at home before you start, you know, a really grueling road trip. So I really think they have to be 3-2 after the first five before they go into their bye on October the 16th.
Hey, Ken, getting out of the AFC West for a minute, Pep asked me earlier my favorite future for football in the NFL. I like the Colts to win the AFC South as my favorite future. I'm just curious, if we're eliminating AFC West teams, what's your favorite future on the NFL board right now?
Yeah, you know what? I can't disagree with that. If Matt Ryan stays upright, you know,
yep,
and that's the main thing. I mean, we got to realize that he is getting up in years, but still, he'll hand off to, you know, best running back in football and Taylor. So I can't disagree with that.
The Ryan for Wentz swap is huge.
There you go. I agree there. And then, you know, Tennessee's really the team that you have to worry about. But I think Jacksonville will be much improved. Houston will still be down in the cellar. No question there. Look, I played the Raiders over the win total 8.5. Now it's minus some juice. It went up to 9 at the South Point. You know, that was the one that I jumped on right away. So, Miami went up to 9. And I know that's a tough one. A lot of people don't like Miami because they don't like Tua. I think Tua fits the bill with the skill position players that you have. I mean, not just Tyreek Hill coming over, but Cedric Wilson comes over. You have Jalen Waddle. You bring in Chase Edmonds and Alec Ingold in the backfield. You still have Mostert and Gaskins. Gesicki's one of the best young tight ends. And then you grab Teron Armstead, one of the best left tackles in the game, to help the offensive line. So I think Miami's got an opportunity. Now, they open with the Patriots, and that's another big game because they're at home. They've got to take care of business against the Pats. 2-3-0 against the Patriots so far in his young career. But, you know, we'll see how that pans out, because those are the two teams that will be battling for second place more than likely behind Buffalo.
I'll just tell you real quick, I'm with you on the Dolphins, Ken, and you can, something I'm looking at on DK Sportsbook, you can just bet the Dolphins to be finished second in the AFC East, assuming we think the Bills are first, for them to beat out the Patriots. Plus 175 for Miami to finish second in the AFC East.
Yeah, I like it. I like that. And you know, there's a bunch of them that they have out here. Will teams make the playoffs? Will they not? You know, I did bet the Raiders at a plus 195, but to me, the value really was on the Raiders at 8.5, and they were even money when I bet them. And the reason being, I mean, you got a 17-game season, but they have to go, if they go 9-8, and you said it, they got there the last couple of years. Now, last year, I said they'd go 10-7. I did not expect them to go 10-7 the way they finished with four straight wins. I figured they were in a lot of trouble, and they'd be fortunate to finish better than 8-9. So they got it done. I was impressed. And then they played Cincinnati pretty tough. You know, only lose by a touchdown, and really inside the 10-yard line in the waning seconds of that game, chance to maybe tie that game up. So, you know, a lot to build on from last year. Crosby gets the contract extension, which is huge. But bringing in Chandler Jones, all we want to do is see the same guy that we saw in Arizona last year. If we can get that, you know, you bring Jayon Brown, comes over from Tennessee, too. He missed 7 games last year, but still at 57 tackles. Pretty solid linebacker to go with Perryman. And, you know, the secondary with Mullen and Abram. Merrick was a stud last year at a TCU. Rocky Sin will help anchor that other cornerback position. Nate Hobbs, some of these other guys, you know, could give us some depth that we haven't had in years past.
Hanging out with the diehards here on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line. Bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. He is Kent Thompson from SportsX Radio, firmly on the Las Vegas Strip. Kent, switching gears a little bit, getting back to baseball. It is the All-Star Game tonight. We're hearing the rumblings, we're hearing MLB, we're hearing the commissioner saying, hey, the Oakland A's have to make a decision, they make a decision fast. Is it safe to say the Oakland A's are going to be the Vegas A's? Is that going to happen?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I heard all Oakland, right. I thought they had approved, like all this money, you know, for, you know, a ballpark similar to what the Padres have, the water. So, yeah, I mean, to me, if I'm Oakland, I mean, I'm all in because I have nothing left. The Warriors have moved to San Francisco. The Raiders are here. And if you lose the A's, what do you have? I mean, you got nothing left. You're going to have to wait for, you know, the USFL and the Oakland Invaders to come back or whatever. XFL, Invaders. I forget where they even played, but they were in Oakland. But, I mean, that's how desperate times will be in Oakland. And I feel bad because there are some great fans out of there. And a lot of them do make it into Vegas. There's, I'd say, probably 25% of the season ticket holders in Vegas are original Raiders, Oakland season ticket holders, and there's a bunch coming in from L.A. as well.
Ken, finally, again, in the All-Star game tonight, tomorrow, no games Thursday, they start up again. What is your thought process? What do you do when the baseball season second half starts from a gambling perspective? Do you wait and see how it plays out 1 or 2 days and see what happens to these teams after the break, or do you hop right in and ride the teams you did or go against the teams you went against? What is the gambling thought process the second half when you have all this time off and it starts Thursday?
Yeah, and you got to look at the way the teams were playing going into the All-Star game. Like, I have Boston, I have the Red Sox under 85.5. Now they're down to 3 games over .500. So I feel good with that one. Forces them to play 7 games over in their last, whatever, 70 games. And, you know, that's going to be difficult because they struggle inside the AL East. But I'll wait. There's going to be some teams that are desperate, and they're going to have to make a move probably in the first, say, 7 to 10 days. Now, otherwise they become sellers at the trade deadline instead of, you know, potentially buyers or standing pat. tell you what, the Baltimore Orioles, man, that's a young team that, you know, if they keep Mancini around, the nucleus of that team with the pitching they have, and I'm not talking just starting pitch, I'm really talking about their middle relief, I think, is as good as anybody's in the league right now.
Ken, every time I ask you to join the show, you say yes. Really appreciate you. You're great. You're the best in the business. We love you as a pal of the show. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you later on down the line.
Always appreciate being on with the diehards, man. You guys rock. God bless. Have a great night.
SportsX Radio's Ken Thompson in Las Vegas. Final timeout of the show. We'll come back and wrap things up. He is Julian Edlow from DraftKings. My name is Anthony Pepe, the original diehard. We are the diehards. You're locked in to the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
All right, Jules, DraftKings.com. Again, talk about the parlays and the craziness that you guys are doing on DraftKings because no one else is doing it. Pretty awesome.
DraftKings.com for the DFS and, of course, sportsbook.draftkings.com for the sportsbook side of things. We are opening up as many NFL futures markets as possible and allowing you to parlay futures to a degree. You can't just slap together whatever you want, but, you know, whether it be to have a winning season, to make the playoffs, things like that, we're trying to get creative with the parlays. And, you know, I'm also pushing for some stuff on the college football side of things, which I won't speak to because they're not up on DraftKings Sportsbook. But I'm pushing for more to be up on DraftKings Sportsbook, and we'll see what comes through there, which pairs well with our podcast, Unreasonable Odds, with Phil Steele on Thursday that you will be able to listen to and prepare for your college football futures.
Great stuff as always, pal. Appreciate the time. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Always great stuff.
John Belma running Rock and Roll Control in Houston. He is the best in the business. Diehards will be back tomorrow. I will be back tomorrow. Yep, that's me. I'll be back with Brendan Conley hanging out Wednesday edition of the Diehards. Keep it right here. Enjoy the rest of the night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Good night.